Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. You know me, I'm your host, CEO of the HR Analytics Dashboard Employee Cycle. And yeah, you know, it's Bruce Marable here again. So you know us, quick plug, we're your all-in-one HR Analytics Dashboard, pulling all your people data from all your different systems that you have, HRIS, ATS, Engagement, Performance, Glassdoor, whatever HR system you have, we probably can pull it into our dashboard so that you can see all your data in one place. So go to employeecycle.com to get your free account to connect your HRIS, and we would love to have you there. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because we have a very interesting guest today. So if you could please help me welcome to the podcast Corey Eustace, who is head of talent at the startup Weedmaps. And today we're going to discuss how to recruit candidates to work in an unconventional industry. Corey, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. Shout out to the Peanut Gallery.
Shout out to the Peanut Gallery. What would we all do without them?
Right.
So, Corey, I have to ask you the question how we always start off each episode, which is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah, so I think probably like most people back in 2009, when everybody wanted to get in recruiting, you know, when nobody could find jobs, best time to do it. Somebody found me on Monster and they told me, hey, here's this sales job where you can help people, uncapped commission. And me being this, I guess, spunky Midwest kid that's super competitive, that was like, oh, you mean I can sell stuff to people that they need, like a job, and get paid for it? Sign me up. And here I am a decade later, still drinking the Kool-Aid and still loving what I do, helping people one interaction at a time.
Got it. And for those listeners who are not familiar with the company Weedmaps, what does your company do?
Yeah, so Weedmaps started about 11 years ago, and it was really just like, hey, where can I find my cannabis? And then once I find it, is this a good dispensary? Is this a good place? Whatever it be. And so what we've been building, what we are building, is really a true end-to-end platform for the entire cannabis experience for both consumers and retailers. So we have one piece that is from the business side called Weedmaps Exchange, which is really brands buying from, or dispensaries buying from brands. So think Foot Locker buying more shoes from Nike. We have a online ordering system, delivery enablement. So we don't touch the flower at all. That's what separates us from a lot of other cannabis companies. And then the consumer facing side. So ad servicing, daily deals, things like that. So it's an entire software as a service suite that services the cannabis industry.
Got it. So today our topic is how to recruit candidates to work in an unconventional industry. So I think it makes sense for us to start with, what do you believe is an unconventional industry?
Oh, man. So I think it really depends on the person. I think there's some people that the easy knee-jerk reaction is an unconventional industry might be a place that you have some hesitations about putting it on your resume. So, like, for instance, when I first came here, putting weed maps on my resume, I thought about the rest of my career and would that matter? And it could be something as simple as an unconventional industry, like where people don't think about it even being an industry, right? There's stuff that I had no idea was a job, like performing on cruise ships. You would say that's an unconventional industry. But I think it's really any type of industry that's unknown, new, or really unexplored for that matter.
So before we get into the potential difficulties or similarities of trying to get candidates to work at Weedmaps or other companies that may not be in prime time industries, let's first talk about the culture at Weedmaps and what does that look like?
Ever changing and ever challenging, I would say. So we take the approach that our culture should always be evolving, right? We got rid of, one of the first things I did when I got here was get rid of the quote unquote culture fit interview. Because if you're hiring for a culture fit, you're really hiring for someone that fits an RE culture, and you're just going to get the same type of people, group think, no diversity, no new thoughts or ideas. So what we set out to do is really set out for a cultural alignment interview, meaning that we look to hire people that align with our morals and values as a company that are going to propel our culture forward. The challenging piece comes is that we're an unconventional market. It is the Wild West, not quite the Wild Wild West anymore, but definitely the Wild West. There's some small players. There's some really big, giant players that are kind of around the outskirts kind of thing that we have to be aware of at all times. And we are the stalwart. We've been around the longest. We're the biggest. I think we're the most profitable as well. And so to have all of those things and also be hyper growth at the same time creates all kinds of challenges.
So I love the way you spoke about getting rid of the culture fit test. And as you said that, I just thought about me going to this sneaker store, which is this high-end sneaker store. I just started running. I'm about to run my first 5K in a couple weeks. Pray for me. And as I was talking to the guy who was selling me the shoes, he was asking me why I wasn't buying the sneakers. I told him that I'm about to run my first race. And he was telling me how he runs all the time. I said, oh, well, I guess you have to work in here. He says, yeah, everybody runs here because we're a running sneaker store. And I feel the same way where if you were to work at a fashion company, you probably would get a weird look if you weren't trying to be fashionable. So when you think of Weed Maps, I'm assuming a lot of people would think that you probably need to smoke a lot of weed to work at Weed Maps.
Yeah, we get that question a lot.
And so for the 1,000th time that you've been asked that question, could you help our audience
understand it? Sure.
Understand that and how they could get over the misconception that their company might have based off of whatever industry that they're in.
Yeah, for sure. First and foremost, no, we don't require people to smoke. We don't ask you that in your interview. I, for one, don't consume cannabis due to some extracurricular stuff that I have going on. And so we have a lot of people that are in our product team that build it for users that don't use it themselves. I would say that there are some positions that require a knowledge of it. And I would also say probably a comfortability with it. But in reality, like what we do is empower people. And there's a lot of people when I first started, they're like, oh, like you're like the liquor industry. I'm like, no, because weed doesn't kill you. So one, that's first and foremost. And then like, well, you're like a medicine company. It's like, no, because it's not addictive. So you don't have personalities. Now there's dependencies on it for sure. But from how people think about us, are we just a bunch of stoners sitting around and getting stoned all day and talking to people? Absolutely not. Like we're a real company. We build real software and we make real money. Like the money that we make is no different than any other company. And so that perception is actually what we found is mostly linked when it's a candidate's direct sphere of influence. So like their family or their friends of like, oh, you sell weed now, or oh, you work at a stoner company. It's like, no, let me actually tell you what I do. And then like when I first started here, my parents didn't have any issues with it. I'm from the West, but my mom, I was like, you should really think about CBD. And she's like, well, I don't like feeling. I'm like, what feeling? And she's like, I don't like being high. I'm like, no. That's something completely different. And then talking about that and getting her to help understand it, she now uses CBD cream. My aunts use CBD cream so that would have never touched it ever in their life. And they would never take any type of painkillers or opioids ever again after that they switched. So we're really empowering and enabling people to live a healthier life. Now, sure, there's tons of people that still use it just for recreational use and they just want to get high. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I would argue that's a lot safer to get high than just drink 12 beers and get drunk. Or 4 beers or whatever it be.
I actually just got my grandma some gummies and some lotion for CBD because she has rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's been working. She's been feeling better.
I'm sure you've had some interesting conversations when she's on those gummies.
I have.
Gummies can affect some people in some different ways. I actually, before I stopped consuming, I took a gummy. And normally it takes about an hour to kick in for anybody listening that doesn't know about them. But this one decided to kick in about 20 minutes while my daughter was still awake and then continued to ask me, why are you laughing so hard, Dad? And I'm like, why are you laughing so hard? And here we are. So looking forward to explaining to her one day why Dad stopped building spaceships and started getting people high in a different way. So
nice. I'm glad we were able to fit that into the interview.
Yeah. That's awesome. We're waiting to drop that one.
Nice, nice. Yeah, you heard it here first. So let's go back to the interviewing process. In regards to the misconceptions of what some of the candidates may believe that they'll have to do or that they'll be maybe even asked to do as they work at a company like Weedmaps, what are some of the things outside of them just thinking that I may need to consume or marijuana or smoke weed? Are there any other things that they may think about the company? Do they think that it's more laid back than others? Do they think that they'll be able to do certain things that other companies might not allow them to do because it's a company called Weedmaps? Does any of that ever play into effect?
Yeah, we've definitely got the question of like, what about if I put this on a mortgage, like I'm about to buy a house or a loan or buying a car, or how do I explain to my friends, or like, are people next to me high? I hear you guys have a smoke room, so am I going to get high by contact high? And all of those questions are like good ones, but all of them are the same. It's like, nah, it doesn't really affect anything. It doesn't do anything. The most interesting thing that we get is that we'll get a lot of candidates that think it's like different. So imagine if we were a basketball team, right? There's what, 15 players on an NBA basketball team, 16 players, whatever it be. And we were called Weedmaps. That was our basketball team. And you have people that have never played basketball in their life, but really like it, apply to be on the team because they're thinking, oh, it's just a weed team. It's not really a bunch of really good athletes, right? And so it goes with the same analogy of like people wanted to be, when we were hiring our CFO, they applied to be our CFO with like 2 years experience at an MBA school. And I'm like, what makes you think you could be a CFO at our company? Like just because we're at Weedmaps? And they really thought that. They were like, oh, it's not that big a deal. You guys are more laid back. It's easier. It's just a bunch of stoners. I'm smarter than everybody there. And it's once they get in here, they're like, oh, maybe not. And it's very quick of like, oh man, you guys are a legit company. Builds real software and makes real money, just like I said earlier.
So how much does that play into your employer brand strategy? Are you taking into account what a lot of people are saying and then going back to your employer brand strategy and saying, well, here are the misconceptions. And so here are the things that we need to tell people that we're not, but then also tell people who we are?
Yeah, I don't think so much of the not. We don't really focus too much on that not because we definitely embrace our culture. Like we embrace the fact that we're champions for cannabis. We do talk about what we are. Our recruiting team and our talent team, we specifically talk about a lot. We use the term 8-miling, basically saying, let's tell them everything that they're going to hear, that they're going to think, or they're going to ask about us. And then they see that we're transparent, truthful, and honest about every single thing that we're telling them. And then they get in here and see that everything we just told them is true. It's like, oh. And then when other companies or other recruiters or any other family or friends say, oh yeah, Weedmaps is this or Weedmaps is that. It's like, oh yeah, Corey told me that. And now the fact that you said you were going to say that and the fact that you did makes me trust him more than I trust you now. Because us as talent, like all we have to go is on is our reputation. And so we're always trying to be truthful and honest, but just trying to do like the rabbit did. And like, once you say everything everyone's going to say about you, they can't say anything and they're left with nothing.
I think this is the first time somebody actually laid down an 8-mile reference on the interview. So
we do it on a weekly basis. Someone says that.
Nice. Shout out to the rabbit.
When I was on the agency side, my boss used to call it crystal balling and like crystal ball what was going to happen. I was like, that's such like a antiquated, like I'm not Miss Cleo, right? And I was like, you know what? Let's just call it 8-mile. Like that's way better. And that just hits better. And plus, everyone was younger and they didn't know what crystal balling meant. So that also worked. Definitely. Now I get sideways looks and it's like, 8-mile, what's that? And I'm like, go home.
I know you're like, how old are you?
Go home, go watch it. You can come back to work once you watch it. Until then, don't come back.
Right. And then you're going to get a book report.
Exactly. So you don't have to smoke weed, but you do have to watch 8-mile. It is a prerequisite.
Got it. So earlier you spoke about saying that some of the roles actually do require either experience with using the product or marijuana, weed, whatever we're calling it, and or some of the people actually have to have prior experience just being in the industry, I'm assuming. So with working with an unconventional industry, or let's just go with new disruptive industry, how difficult or is it difficult at all to find people with previous experience, but that also have the level of skills and experience around whatever skill that they have? So industry experience, but then also skills around product development or sales or marketing or whatever it is.
Yeah. So I'd say the only thing that requires any type of prior knowledge, and I wouldn't even say it has to, is like if you're leading our content division, right? If you're leading the content that we're pushing out from a news article standpoint on Weedmaps News, which we have from an educational standpoint that we call Learn. And you need to know something about that. But at the end of the day, like if you're a great journalist, great reporter, great copywriter, whatever it be, you're going to figure out what to write. It's just words, right? It's just what are the words putting together? What's it talking about? So we do have like curation and things like that. And like we have some people that are on staff that are more like doctors or scientists and stuff like that. Like, of course, they need to know it. But this is not a new thing. Like cannabis has been around for a long time. And so there are plenty of people that know about it. It's just the only difference is that it wasn't mainstream culture. People didn't know about it. People didn't know. They didn't speak about it. Now it's out in the open. And so when we post a position of like a content writer, like we get thousands of resumes, like thousands. And so it's always been there. It's just nobody knows about it. Something like blockchain, like that's brand new, right? That hasn't been around. You're not going to find people about it. You're going to find experts on it. And that expert's only known about it for a year. Cannabis is around for centuries.
Got it. Do you ever feel like you're missing out on top talent because people might have political, religious, any other type of belief that what you're doing is or ethically wrong or just against how they feel? Do you believe you've ever lost any candidates due to that?
Oh, sure. I mean, absolutely. I'm sure we've lost people. I mean, I know for a fact we've lost people because they didn't know how they were going to explain to their kids. We've lost people because they just didn't believe in it or how it was going to look on their resume. That's just fine. Like we know that, but there are plenty of other people that are looking for positions, right? That I don't think we're going to have any issue with. And the fact that people, like when people come to us and like, well, I don't know, am I like an engineer? They'll say, well, I don't know. Like, what if Google or Facebook won't hire me? My first answer is, well, what if I told you that Google and Facebook regularly try to poach and have poached from us? They're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, software. Like, what's the difference between building like cannabis versus building or building a software that enables cannabis use versus building like a warhead for an intercontinental ballistic missile? Like, who knows, right? So it's just the same thing. But have we lost people? Absolutely. I'm sure.
And you just spoke about how software is software, whether you're, I think you said intercontinental ballistic missile. I think that's what you said. You said something very techie. Said something very techie. I was like, oh, that's way over my head. But whether you're building for that or you're building for a company that is working around weed, software is software. So when people are working there, do people feel like they're working for a software company or do people feel like they're working for like a weed company that's tech enabled? And I ask that because there's always an argument around companies like Uber, where it's like, do you feel like you work for a transportation company that's tech enabled or do you feel like you work for a software company? Or if you work for Airbnb, do you work for a travel company, hotel chain, or do you work for a tech company? So I'm curious, like, how do you believe most people feel about that? And does it also matter in which department they work in, which I'm assuming content might feel more like that versus developers?
Yeah, I think I would venture to say that most people don't think that they go to work like, I'm going to work at a weed company today. Okay. Like what I tell people is that I honestly forget. Unless someone asks me, like, as far as I'm concerned, I work at a software company. Like we have the same problems that other software companies do. And by those problems, I mean like we don't have enough Red Bull or we have the wrong protein bars, like all the techie stuff that people care about, right? You walk around, we have people from every software, like every large software company work here on both our engineering side, our sales side, operations side, our talent side. Like we're a software company that we just happen to build software that enables cannabis use. I mean, as far as like people knowing what they get into, like have we lost people? I'm sure. But like literally this year, we've had over 37,000 people in our pipeline that you've either applied, we found, sourced, marketed, whatever it be. But 37,000 candidates, unique candidates. There's no shortage of people that want to work here. I'll tell you that right now.
Wow. That's amazing. You would think with a national labor shortage and then there being a ridiculous amount of tech jobs that can't be filled because the lack of talent, on top of some of the other issues we talked about people just not wanting to say they work there, whether it's some part of their belief system keeps them from working there, that you would have twice as hard of a time hiring talent. But it seems as though it's not really affecting you at all.
No, not at all. I mean, like we hire less than, I think the last time I looked was like less than 1%, maybe 2% of the people that we interact with that get through. Like we've hired over 200 people in the first 6 months of this year. So anybody like there's no shortage of people that want to work here. But when we reach out to people and we're like, hey, do you want to work in an industry that is ripe for the picking, is foundationally set up well, but hasn't ever been, I guess, someone figured out how to like expertise it. That's not even a word, but let's make it up and make it something that is like ever changing, that you have like an impact. Those come like very few and far between. Like I've been lucky enough to work at two companies, I think, that can literally change the world. And like, that's pretty insane. And so for anyone offering that kind of story and be able to write something that hasn't been written before versus just come build the next iteration of social network, right? Messaging platform, whatever it be. Like that's sure. You can make a ton of money doing that, but like, I don't want my, like when you write my story and my headstones, like, oh, worked at every social media company, boom, boom, boom. Right. So it's like, I'd rather do something that's impactful that leaves a mark on people, that actually makes people better and helps them.
Got it. That's awesome. And that's great that you're not having those issues. But for those out there who are listening to this and are having an experience in those issues, what are some of the things that you think they should be looking at to fix this issue and to increase their pipeline of candidates?
Oh, like other companies that are looking at it? I mean,
yeah.
To be honest, I always say like lead with what's real, like lead with what's true about you. There's always going to be people that are going to try to take you down. There's always going to be people that are going to speak ill. There's always going to be people that have an unpleasant experience with you, or a candidate that didn't like their interview experience, or an employee that didn't work out for whatever reason. Like you can only control what you can control. But if you set up your process and your interview process to specifically identify a type of person that you're looking for, a person with a certain amount of skills, right? And you trust that process and you set it to be objective and inclusive and a positive candidate experience that leaves the candidate with a unique feeling, then you're doing the right thing. Like, and just understand, you're not going to hire every single person that comes through your pipeline. That's just not possible. One, because you don't have enough jobs to do that. But two, not every person is going to be the right fit for you.
Interesting. One of the things that I just thought, which I'm curious about. So most companies, when they're a software company, but then they also focus in a space, let's call it social media, marketing, finance, tech, agriculture, whatever it is, I don't believe most of them ever market in the industry that they're targeting, but they typically try to recruit candidates from the traditional job boards and staffing firms with software. Are you able to, being in an, call it unconventional industry, are you able and have you ever promoted within the, let's call it the greater weed community, to find talent? And if so, do you think other companies should more companies do that, whether in the unconventional, industry or not?
I mean, I think you got to look at both, right? Like why only fish in one place when there's fish in both? And so if you look at it from a standpoint and again, really understand what you're looking for, not just say that, oh, Google uses this, this, and this, so I'm going to look here, here, and here, and I'm going to use those three things too. It's like, that's a different type of person you're probably looking for. You're probably looking for a different set of skills or different type of problem solvers, or the things that you need to do and where you need to advertise. Like they should be everywhere, right? Like if we only advertised outside the cannabis industry, then all we would get is a bunch of people that know how to do things, but not in the cannabis space. And the inverse of that, if we only recruited and marketed in the cannabis space, we just get people that are from the cannabis industry, which isn't, neither one of those is a bad thing, but both of them is a better thing.
Nice. I like that. Both of them is a better thing. We're definitely going to include that in the show notes. And just last question about that. When you are advertising in the cannabis industry, what does that look like? Are there cannabis specific job boards? Are there meetups? How are you doing that?
Yeah, so there are definitely cannabis specific job boards. We tend to not really advertise on those. And it's not because it's cannabis. It's because typically those cannabis focused job boards are for cannabis, true cannabis companies like grows or distribution network companies or dispensaries. So they're looking for like bud tenders and things like that. We're not looking for those things. We're looking for more of a, so like I said, just a software company. And so where we do advertise and talk about is more like on site at meetups, events that are focused on the language that you use for engineering. So it's not a cannabis event, but we are the only cannabis company there. So then we're the cool company because we're the weed company, and that we do definitely use that brand for sure. But then also we go to things like Hall of Flowers or CannaCon and these different cannabis conventions that we also advertise at. And we always have some type of recruiting and presence there just because we try to use everybody within our whole company as recruiters. So
got it. So now we're going to transition into my favorite part of the interview, which is what I call the real, the random, and the ridiculous. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. The real question, do you like to eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
I wouldn't say I like to eat it. I do like bread pudding.
How are those two different things?
I mean, I don't eat it on the regular. Like, my wife doesn't make bread pudding. If I go out to a restaurant that has bread pudding, I'll eat it. But otherwise, my wife is not a maker of bread pudding.
Got it. Okay. Yep. Just wanted to make sure if we should still be friends.
Yeah. The bread pudding I like is there's actually a restaurant on Laguna Beach called Nick's, and they have really good bread pudding.
Awesome.
Yeah.
When I come out, I'm definitely going to go to Nick's.
Yeah. It's a good place.
All right. The random question. You have Spotify?
I do.
What are you listening to?
Right now. Oh, man. In my car on the way to lunch, I was listening to John Mayer. And then, otherwise, I'm either listening to John Mayer, I'm listening to
which John Mayer album?
All of them. Like, it's just one album, as far as I'm concerned. He just releases it every couple of years. Okay. So it's just adding on. I listen to a lot of worship music because I'm in our worship group at church. And so I'm either listening to new songs that I need to learn to sing, and or I'm listening to the set that we're singing on Sunday. But my favorite worship group is Elevation Worship. And then I listen to a lot of country. I used to hate it. But then I married a woman who loves country, and now I love country. Weird how that happens.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, and then old school hip-hop is probably my next one. And I'm talking like real hip-hop, like Dre, Snoop, NWA, those type of people.
Ah, yeah. Got it.
Run DMC.
Very eclectic music taste. I like it. Okay.
Music is music, man. It's like anybody that like likes the sound of music, like I'd love to talk to them because I would argue that it's the emotion that sound gives them is what they really like.
Yep. I have playlists for all the things that I'm doing. I have a work playlist. I have gym playlists, and I have multiple gym playlists. So some for boxing, some for running, some for lifting.
So I have playlists specifically for how long I'm going to run, like run 30, run 40, run 50.
Oh.
So how many minutes I'm going to run.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now that I'm starting to run, I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah. I would recommend the Nike Run Club app. It's money.
Nike. Done.
Run Club.
Run Club app. Pro tip. All right. And then the ridiculous question to bring it full circle. What do you think is one of the most ridiculous reasons why a candidate has ever turned down Weave Maps for a job offer?
That a candidate has ever turned us down?
Yep.
Man, this is going to stand out. And if they're listening, they're going to know it's them. So I kind of don't want to say it. the generalized one I would say is like their family told them they couldn't work here. Mm-hmm. Like beyond there's not too much ridiculous stuff. Like, I mean, I've had ridiculous reasons both here and in my career of people that have like quit a job because of X, Y, and Z only to find them working at a different company the next week. And they're miraculously cured of their crazy disease. But beyond that, that didn't happen here. I just want to call that out. It did not happen at Weed Maps, but just saying. So, I mean, I worked at an agency, dude. So I would have people, I would hear horror stories of people going to lunch and then never coming back. Apparently somebody went to the bathroom one time and never came back.
Jeez.
Like, what is going on? So yeah, that was like old school, well before I started Boy the Room type agencies. But yeah, I mean, people are people, which is why I do what I do, because like they're an unsolvable enigma. And so at least it's fun. I mean, if it was just boring all the time, like who would do this job? It'd be so boring.
That is true. Well, Corey, thanks so much for being on the Employee Cycle Podcast. You've been an awesome guest, and I hope a lot of people learned a lot of things from you. So thank you, Corey.
Appreciate it. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. So where can people find you and Weed Maps online?
Yeah. So find me on LinkedIn. I'm open. Anybody can always find me. DMs are open, as they would say. You find me on Twitter. You can find us on LinkedIn and Twitter and Insta and everything else. But weedmaps.com/careers is where you're going to find our jobs right now. We're not hiring too many people right now this quarter because we hired so many the first two. We got to kind of let them marinate a little bit. But in the next month or month and a half, those jobs will go right back up to like 40 to 50 openings probably. So
that is awesome. So thank you all for listening to the podcast with Corey. I hope you learned a lot because I sure did. Also, if this is your very first time listening to the podcast and you were brought here because you either already knew Corey, you saw her promoted somewhere, and you're a drive-by night listener, please make sure that you download and subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever is your favorite podcast player. And wherever you can leave us a review, Google reviews, iTunes reviews, want to leave a review on your Facebook just to say, hey, we love the Employee Cycle Podcast. Wherever you want to spread the word, please do. And last but not least, all of you HR and people ops leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.
This episode of the Employee Cycle Podcast was edited and produced by Lux Podcast Production. Lux is a creative audio suite that helps clients create, market, and measure their show. Visit luxpodcasts.com to learn how a podcast can benefit your organization. That's LUXE podcasts.com.